You know, sometimes we have to do the math. 1990, Brad Smith, and as a Presbyterian pastor and his youth group, had the idea of collecting and doing such. That's 30 years ago. I've been involved with this Super Bowl collection, I believe 28 years, have been doing this, which is just a fun thing to do and a way for us to reach out. It also reminds me that our mission committee will meet on Wednesday at 1 p.m., and the mission committee is open to new members, new ideas, new thoughts. And so if you would like to serve and see how some of this works in and through God's church here in this place and across the ends of the earth, be there. 1 o'clock Wednesday here at the church, the mission committee meets. And it was good to see the choir have to look at each other, because as a high schooler singing in the choir, you know, you better look always front at the director. You know, one eye on your music and one eye on the director, but don't ever look to your side. So some of you probably never knew what the face what the face of each other looked like. So now you know. I'm not sure if that means you'll be looking more to the side or you're definitely looking forward now, but that's where you are. We find ourselves in Matthew's Gospel. We'll be in Matthew's Gospel for a few weeks as we take a look at the Beatitudes. I don't think that that our time together really does a full explanation, understanding of the Beatitudes. Would encourage you to read through chapter 5. In fact, I would have you step back to last week's passage in Matthew chapter 4, as that becomes the setup for what is about to be said, as we find it beginning in Matthew chapter 5. And so hear these words as we find them in the Sermon on the Mount and in the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were born before you." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, once again, we would ask for the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the hearts and minds to understand what you would say to us again this day. Before we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Blessed. Blessed, just a simple word that we hear in, whether that is in a useful or a misused text or context, we find this word, blessed. And we find it this day in Matthew's Gospel, in the Beatitudes, a blessing. The Beatitudes, as some might say that, blessings on the disciples who live in authentic community. What we find in the text as recorded in Matthew are the rules for living, how we ought to live life, and also how we ought not to live life, how we live because God is in a relationship with us, about living life together in or within God's realm. And so we ask the question, what does that look like? And so we are reminded in a simple verse that isn't so simple. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, in response to this question, what does the Lord require to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. For we have already been reminded, and we will be reminded as we gather at table, that it is in and through God's grace, through the love of Christ, through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that we find these opportunities for new life, for new beginning. If we take the passage that we read last week from Isaiah, we are reminded how the no's become yes, how the highs become low, the reversals. The hungry become fed, the empty become full, the old becomes new, and death becomes life. And for us, it becomes life eternal. What does the Lord require to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? Because God lives, we live. Because He lives, we live. We are able to live a full, a whole, a complete life. Remind it in our sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The newness as we find it, as we remember what God has called us to. Not only do, but what God has called us to be. The Beatitudes are addressed to the community, as the community is gathered and recognizes the gifts that God has given, recognizing that in and through the marks of the church, the body of Christ, that we are called to live in a new way, to go against the flow. And we know that the challenges that are presented that way, as we go against the flow, the current, the trends, present challenges and often require change. And so we find that question, what does the Lord require to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God always? The Beatitudes are a call for all of us to live more of the blessings ourselves. The psalmist writes in Psalm 15, and as I refer to these other passages, they are also passages used in our lectionary as we move our way through the year and through a three-year cycle together in and through the church. And it talks about, as we identify, as these 10 things have been identified in Psalm 15 for the community, gather together, walk blamelessly, and do what is right. Speak truth from the heart. Do not slander with the tongue. Do no evil to a friend. Do not take up a reproach against the neighbor. Despise the reprobate. Honor those who fear God. Stand by an oath even when it hurts. Do not lend money at interest. Do not take a bribe against the innocent. Ideas that we gather from the psalmist that connect with what does the Lord require of us, as we find those words in Micah. but also as Jesus sat and began to teach. That's what a teacher did. And so that's the title of this morning's message is Wait for It. Because as the disciples were moving around and busy traveling and doing the things that they knew how to do, and then at some point, you know, Jesus sat down. And I know, because I've read it so in Scripture, that when Jesus sat down, they began to listen in a new way. You know, maybe it's the same way as a pastor steps to the pulpit. I'm grateful that this pulpit is the way that it is. I was at Memorial Presbyterian Church yesterday in St. Augustine. Some of you have been there. I believe you have to wear a climbing harness to get up into the pulpit. You know, when the pastor ascends the stairway, you're going to get some sort of word, I know. Wait for it. Jesus had a word to say. And these words are hard and difficult if we take them into each of our life and our life together. I mean, I know it's a great effort. It is a great testimony of a community of faith to present some extra food to help those who are in need. But God calls us to always do more with what God has given and to trust that in the midst of living in God's realm that God will continue to provide. What does the Lord require? To do justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with God. Friends, thanks be to God for God's word for us this day. As we wait for it, as God will continue to unfold what God intends for you and for me and for us together in and through God's church here in this place. Thanks be to God. Amen.